Thank you, Morris, for your warm words of welcome. And it's been an absolute joy to be here this past month in your Bible study. I've enjoyed it immensely. And I don't know what I'm going to do with myself on a Tuesday evening. I am at a loss. But I've really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for your encouragement to me. And I really appreciate it so much. If you have your Bible with you this evening, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're looking at God the Father over these last number of weeks. This is our final study. Turning to a well-known passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when thou prayest, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask. After this manner therefore pray thee, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. And we know God again will bless the public reading of his own inspired, precious, holy, infallible word. I have felt totally inadequate, not only because I'm standing up in this pulpit, but dealing with the subject we've been dealing with over the last number of weeks. We've been looking at God the Father, his and all the attributes that he has. And we're coming to our last study this evening. And we're going to look at the fatherhood of God. The fatherhood of God. And maybe you're like me, you haven't really thought much about the fatherhood of God. It's maybe not something that really has struck a chord in your heart. That the Almighty and the one who is sovereign, the one who dwells in inaccessible glory, the one who is the Spirit, the one whose throne is surrounded with the cry, Holy, 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 the one who inhabits eternity, who is self-existent, who is spotless, who is righteous, who is inexhaustibly loving and merciful and faithful. He is the one who is the author of salvation, the seer of every man's heart, and the God of unquenchable wrath. And yet, all of those are so true, and at the same time, he can be my Father who art in heaven. Wonderful. I ask myself the question in the study, why does God describe himself as our Father? Why does he use that terminology? Would it not have been enough for us to have known him as Almighty God? Why then does he say, call me your Father in heaven? Thought about it a while, and then, well, an answer that satisfied me came to me. It might not satisfy you, but it satisfied me. Why is God the Almighty? Why does he say, when you pray, pray, our Father who art in heaven? Only a parent could say this, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Only a parent could say that. That's the love of a parent, Jeremiah 31 and 3. And beloved, I believe that this aspect of God, that the fatherhood of God, this aspect of his unsearchable character is one of the great fundamental doctrines of the Bible. God's fatherhood, it pervades all of Scripture. And if we could but grasp this teaching, if we could but lay hold upon it, we would be laying hold of the blessings that flow from the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. To understand the fatherhood of God is to understand just how precious you are to God. It's to understand how inseparably linked we are to the love of God. The fatherhood of God strengthens the bonds of grace around our soul. It fuels the fire of devotion that we so willingly allow to burn low. It inspires praise as no other aspect of God does. It fills the life with all the blessed assurances of the Godhead. It tells me that I am His and He is mine forever. Beloved, this is a subject that spans eternity and is vital in understanding what the Bible teaches, both theologically and doctrinally, about who God is and what God does. So it's a mighty subject to take on, and we'll never be able to fathom it all, because God is infinite, and His fatherhood is infinite. But I want to approach this challenging subject, yet a subject that is full of consolation to our hearts and to our souls, but I want to approach it in three directions this evening, very, very simply. I want you to see, first of all, how God's fatherhood is communicated, how it is exercised, and then finally, how it is edified. So first of all, how God's fatherhood is communicated. Almighty God is known by many names. He is first revealed to us in Genesis chapter 1 as Elohim, and that's a name that speaks of His power. Another title for God is Adonai, and that speaks of His sovereignty. He is Jehovah, that speaks of His provision. He is El Shaddai, that speaks of His preeminence. But when you turn to the book of Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 7, we see God as the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. And this name that's attributed to God, it reveals to us His parental character. It is a parental character that is seen, first of all, through creation. All of mankind has a creational relationship to God the Father, for we are created in His image. Acts chapter 17 and verse 22, Paul, when he's speaking on Mars Hill, he says, we are also His offspring. Maybe that's why there is so much opposition against God in the world today. Like most children, we rebel against our Father. And we live in a world today of rebels, and men and women who rebel against God. But we have that parental character. We see it through creation, but we also see God's parental character through Christ. You see, this is a relationship that can only be enjoyed through salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 14 and verse 6, no man cometh unto the Father but by Me. And we are told that God is continually communicating His fatherhood to man. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. But listen to verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Again, speaking of the fatherhood of God. John chapter 1 verse 18 says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared of Him. And the Lord spoke often of His heavenly Father. And if you were to look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Gospels, you would discover how intimate and how sensitive and how compassionate that relationship was between Father and Son. It was no more clearly seen than when we find the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. If we could cast our minds back through all those years, if we could be present in the Garden of Gethsemane as the smell of the plants and the flowers and invaded the stillness of the night, and the Lord took Himself away and He knelt upon the ground, and He, fully knowing what lay before Him, knew the agonies that He would face, knew the hatred that would be poured upon Him. Even there He could almost feel the spittle running down His face. And yet He prays, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Thine be done. Remember, won't you, beloved, that the Lord Jesus Christ is our example to follow? He says, take up the cross and follow Me. And the Lord Jesus Christ was always submissive to the Father's will. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, He says, My Father's business. He talks about His Father's business. In John chapter 5 and verse 17, He says, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. And again in John 10 verse 18, He says, This commandment have I received of My Father. Beloved, the authority of the Father was of the utmost importance to the son. And I want to tell you, we're losing that in the home today. Losing that in the home. My dad very rarely lifted his hand to me. Very, very rarely. When he did, I deserved it. But he just had to go like that. That was enough. My grandfather, when I was in church, I found it very hard to sit at peace when I was in church. Wasn't very good in church. But my grandfather just put his hand on my knee and squeezed it. Didn't have to say anything. But I knew, you know, just by the squeezing of the knee, if I didn't behave, he'd be squeezing my throat when I got home. Different world we live in today. And there's no authority in the home anymore, or very little of it. The children dominate. The children say what they want to do and give the orders to the parents. But if we are to follow Christ and the fatherhood of God, we see that the authority of the Father was of the utmost importance to the Son. Yes, through creation, we see the fatherhood of God. Through Christ, we see the fatherhood of God. But thirdly, we see it through the Christian. Through you and me, we see the fatherhood of God. John 14, verse 23, he says this in relationship to the redeemed. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Can I say something to you this evening? You know it already, but I think we need to keep saying it. We need to keep reminding ourselves. If the love of the Father is to be communicated through us to this world that we live in, as it was through the Lord Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, then it calls for us to be submitted to God's authority. We have to mean it when we say, as Paul says, no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. We have to mean it. We must be willing to pray as the Savior prayed before the Father, Thy will be done. We must be willing to love God the way the Son loved God. It's challenging, the fatherhood of God. It used to annoy me a wee bit when folks said to me, you're a way like your dad. You know, well, I mean, I was only about 12. He was about 50. Wasn't a great thing to say to a 12-year-old. But it would be wonderful, wouldn't it, spiritually, if people were to come to us and say, you're way like your Father, your Heavenly Father. Wouldn't it be wonderful if men and women came to us and say, I can see the characteristics of God in you. I can see His mark in your life, His hand upon you. Wouldn't that be powerful? Wouldn't it be powerful if people came to us and says, you know, I listen to what you say because I know God's with you. Where are those men today? Where are those women today? Is it because we have lost the wonder of the fatherhood of God? Let me just leave a wee blessing to your heart this evening. We can, in some measure, grasp fairly well the Father's love for His only begotten Son. It says in John chapter 3 and verse 35, the Father loveth the Son. And there's a way we can understand that. Even those of us who are parents, we can understand that love for our children. We can sort of grasp that. But who is there amongst us this evening can even begin to understand John 16 and 27? For the Father Himself loveth you. For the Father Himself loveth you. I remember when my wife was expecting her first child, her son, and I wondered to myself, how am I going to love this man? I mean, I don't know him. I've never met him. I don't know a thing about him. I mean, he's going to be a stranger in the house. And he's going to upset everything. Everything was run smoothly. He's going to upset everything. There's going to be nappies and there's going to be feeding bottles and not your time to go out. No, I'll be serious. Everywhere you go, it'll be like a safari. The amount of stuff you have to take with you. How am I going to love this weeing? You see, the minute The nurse left them into my arms. I just fell madly in love with them. Right away. I can't explain it. I just loved them. My wee daughter one day was getting it hard and tight at school. And I came down to take her home one day, and she sat in the car crying. And she says, "Daddy, do you still love me?" And I thought, oh, for my daughter to even say such a thing. And I says, "Darling, I would die for you. That's how much I love you." You know, your children engender a love within your heart and soul you never thought you had. But listen to this, for the Father himself loveth you. And that's why we can still our hearts and we can come into God's presence and we can pray, "My Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." I know it's so simple. I know you learned it at school. I know you've heard it all before. But isn't it not wonderful that the Almighty God, the thrice holy God, is my Father? I don't know. I don't know how well your fathers were off. But if your fathers were multimillionaires, you'd be telling everybody. You'd be telling everybody. If they were driving Rolls Royces and lived in castles, you'd be telling everybody. And yet we're so slow to talk of our Father who art in heaven. Can I say to you this evening that Almighty God is your Father and is my Father? And this is beyond wonder. For in knowing this, our hearts are comforted. Our hearts are reassured that our Father in heaven has taken responsibility concerning us, his children. I'm God's responsibility. I am. He says, "I know what you need before you even ask." I'm glad about that. He's taken responsibility over me. And he's taken responsibility over you. When the Lord rose from the dead, he was seen of Mary and he said, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father." When Mary says, "Touch me not," it, in the Greek, our translation doesn't really do it well. Because really what it meant was, "Mary, will you leave me alone? Will you let me go?" Mary got a hold of his feet and she wouldn't let him go. And he says, "Mary, you have to let me go. For I have to go to my Father." Not powerful. And she says, and he says, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Beloved, the heart of God, our Heavenly Father, continually pours out love towards you and me. His hand is always open towards you and me. He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Oh, beloved, can you see it? Can you see how the fatherhood of God is communicated? Through our creational relationship with him, through his redemptive love towards us, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through our submission to his will and to his love in our lives and for our lives, to know that we are loved with an everlasting love is a wonderful thing. Oh, the fatherhood of God communicated. But I want you to see, secondly, the fatherhood of God exercised. Again, I want to look at this in three ways. I want to look at it, first of all, nationally. The nation of Israel is never far from the front pages of the political news down through the years. President Trump very soon is going to unveil his peace plans for the Middle East. And that should be interesting, seeing that we believe we're in the last of the last days. That'll be interesting. But this little nation that occupies such a small part of the earth's surface, and yet it is a nation and a people that for generations, from its formation, it has been hounded and persecuted. It has been deported and dispersed and despised. And even today, the enemies of Israel are beginning to surround Israel again, seeking her extermination. Why is that? Why is that? Why is Israel so hated in the world today? Why has it always been so? Well, the answer's simple. Almighty God is the Father of Israel. He is the father of the nation. And the devil's the god of this world. Can I say something to you? Very controversial. But I think you'll agree with me. I hope you do anyway. But it doesn't matter if you don't. We are never to side with any nation or any organization or any political party that opposes Israel. Never. Doesn't mean we always agree with Israel, but we would never support anyone that would oppose them. We are to pray for the peace of Israel, and we are to love the Jew. You see, from the formation of this nation, through the call of Abram, taking him from the darkness of idolatry into this special relationship with God, God has been developing and supervising this people. He describes them as Israel, my son, even my firstborn, in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 22. And beloved, the nations of this world would do well to recognize that God is the father of Israel. They would do well. What does God say of Israel in Deuteronomy 7, verses 7 and 8? The Lord did not set his love upon thee, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye are the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you. You're not saved tonight because you were special. You're not. For God so loved the world. That's why you're saved. He loves you. And down through the centuries, God has cared for Israel. He has protected the nation of Israel. And although he has had to often chastise Israel and correct them, he has never, nor will he ever, stop loving the nation of Israel, his chosen people. This nation has been driven from its God-given land so often during their history, but they'll never be driven from the land again. On the 4th of May 1948, Britain removed its hand of protection from the Jewish people after 30 years, and that was the beginning of the downfall of Britain when they left Israel to their enemies. And this small group of persecuted and forgotten people were, in a matter of hours, surrounded by their enemies on every side. At 4 p.m. that same day, David Ben-Gurion met with the religious and political leaders of the land. And while about 100,000 Jews listened on their radios, Ben-Gurion rose to his feet, and in a firm, strong, and emphatic voice, he read in Hebrew the Declaration of Independence from the new state of Israel. At 5 p.m. that same day in New York, the UN General Assembly met to consider the war clouds that were beginning to form over the Middle East and the threat of the bloodbath that it would bring to the world. They had 1 hour to do something. And when all seemed hopeless, when all seemed lost, there was a message came through from Washington that President Harry Truman had just recognized the new Jewish state of Israel. And for the first time since September the 8th, A.D. 70, the Holy Land of Israel belonged again to the Jew. Isn't that powerful? A miracle of God's fatherhood towards His chosen nation. But from that day to this, the enemies of God's nation have sought to run them into the sea, to rid the world of the Jew. They tried it in the War of Independence in November 1947, and Israel was outnumbered by the Arab forces 40-1. And yet they overcame and they won the battle and they won the war and they were strengthened. They tried it again in the Sinai War of 1956. This time Israel struck first and overwhelmed the Egyptians. Again in the Six-Day War of 1967, Israel outnumbered, defeated Egypt's military power in just 1 week. Again in the Yom Kippur War, Israel was attacked by Egypt and Syria, and this should have spelt the end of Israel. They caught them off guard while they were celebrating their holy day, and they were hopelessly outnumbered. At one point, only 7 battered tanks stood in the way of the Syrian forces, and less than 90 stood against the might of Egypt. But for some reason, we know what it was. It was the fatherhood of God. But for some reason, both armies stopped their advance for a full 48 hours. And this gave Israel enough time to get their reinforcements to the front line. And on Friday, the 19th of October, 1973, the greatest tank battle in world history was fought in the Sinai Desert. And when the smoke cleared, Israel was victorious. Beloved, you're maybe sitting there saying, well, Pastor, this is a Bible study. It's not a history study. Why are you telling me all this? The reason I'm telling you all this is this. That God has still got his hand upon Israel. He is still the father of the nation. He still cares for the people. And his fatherhood overshadows this great nation of outcasts. That fills me with great comfort. Because that same father overshadows me. He overshadows me every day and everywhere. And because he overshadows me, the victory's won. The victory's won. I'm more than a conqueror. We can do all things through Christ. My, we can see the fatherhood of God exercised nationally, but I want you to see the fatherhood of God exercised individually. As I said, God is the Father of Israel, but he's also our Heavenly Father. And we are his children by grace, and we praise God for that. There's a difference between our relationship with God the Father and Israel's relationship with God the Father. Israel's relationship is corporate and earthly. Ours is individual and heavenly. Is that not what comes through when Paul is preaching in Ephesians chapter 1? Ephesians chapter 1, 3 to 9. Ephesians chapter 1, 3 to 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. That's a wonderful portion of Scripture. In that portion of Scripture, we discover that we're blessed in verse 3. That we're chosen in verse 4, that we're predestinated in verse 5, we're accepted in verse 6, we're favored in verse 8, and we're commissioned in verse 9. It's a great portion of Scripture. And these are our blessings when we as individuals put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are sealed with God. We are hid with Christ in our Heavenly Father. Beloved, once you and I were of our father the devil, but now, by the grace of God, by the love of God, we are the children of God. He is our Heavenly Father. Galatians chapter 4 and 6 says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of a Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. One of the wonderful things about being saved is that God the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. And one of the things that God the Holy Spirit does is this. Father, this is your child. This is your child. That's what it says there. God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And that is, this is your child. Isn't it wonderful that there's a cry coming up even when we can't open our mouth? There's a cry, a groaning comes up before God, this is your child. Where are you tonight? Broken. Broken. Broken by sorrow. Broken by mistakes. Broken by illness, whatever it may be. God the Holy Spirit, before the Heavenly Father, is saying, this is your child. This is your child. You are individually the child of God. And that's wonderful. But there's a challenge that accompanies the blessing. John 14, verse 15 says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. It was always a sign of a child's love to a parent when the children do what they're told. It's a great thing when you get your wings to do what they're told. If you love me, keep my commandments. Beloved, you and I are to... We can claim the fatherhood of God, and we can say how wonderful it is that Almighty God is my Father. But we are to live lives that endorse the fact that we are now the sons of God. We are to live lives that give evidence to it. If anyone had asked me my name when I was a youngster, I had no problem telling them who I was and where I came from. I identified with my father. I identified with my father's house. I identified with my father's name. I had no problem with that. We live in a world today that is heaps such a threat upon the believers now that we're almost too frightened to say that we're saved. Too frightened to say that we're Christians. Too frightened to speak of our Heavenly Father. Beloved, we are to live lives. You and I are to live lives that inspire other people to worship our Heavenly Father. We are. And can I challenge you this evening? Are you inspiring anybody to live for God? Are you an inspiration? Are you? There are very, very few people in my life that I have met that were inspirational. One wee man in particular, Sam Graham, he brushed the sides of the road. That's what he did for a living. He worked for the DOE. And that wee man could step into a room and change the whole atmosphere in a room just by stepping into it. Most inspirational man I ever met. Wasn't a man of letters or anything like that there. Wasn't a preacher. But he visited every single home and told everybody about Jesus. And he was inspirational. And he was a man who inspired me and encouraged me. I wonder, are you an inspiration for God in this fellowship? That's a challenge, isn't it? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Tell me, beloved, are you a credit to your Father's house? Or are you a shame to your father's house? I have to ask myself that. Am I a credit or am I a shame to my father's house? But thirdly, not only nationally, individually, but see God's fatherhood exercised practically. If we say that we are what we say we are, and we believe what we should be as the people of God, then it is something most wonderful. It is such a consolation to know that our relationship with God the Father is unbreakable, even in the unpredictability of our Christian lives. The link that we have with our Heavenly Father can never be broken. As our Heavenly Father, God is constantly aware of our needs. Matthew 6 and 8, your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. Also, as our Heavenly Father, He is constantly approachable. Psalm 55 and 6, as for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. My dad didn't always have time for me. He was a businessman. If he wasn't going from work, he was going to work. He didn't really have time. And we didn't do a wild lot as a family. He was good to me. Don't get me wrong, he was good to me. But he just hadn't an awful lot of time. I just couldn't come and say, Dad, could you fix this? Or could you do this? Just hadn't time. But I have a Heavenly Father who is there for me 24/7. Every day. In every way. And He's there for you every day. Because He is constantly approachable. And He's always abundant. Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 to 30. Are not two swallows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. He's always abundant. I could keep you here all night telling you about how the Lord met the needs in our lives. And I've told you some things over the past, but I could keep you here all night. Time and time and time again, he meets the need. Christian, can I challenge you tonight? Can I challenge you as I have challenged my own heart so many times? We need to get to know our Heavenly Father more. We need to get to know our Heavenly Father more. We need to build this relationship that we have with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to look for that closer walk with God. If we want to do exploits, then we have to know God. We wonder why there's so little going on in our churches, why no one's getting saved and the unsaved have no interest coming to church or coming to the gospel meeting. Listen, have you any interest in God? Have you? Have you any interest in your Heavenly Father? Are you at least met concerned about your walk with God or how deep you are spiritually? Well, let me tell you, if you're not concerned, the unsaved will not be concerned. But if they see believers on fire, they'll come to see them burn. They'll come to see them burn. But a lot of dead, lifeless believers, I want to tell you, the unsaved are not interested. Not interested. If we are to do exploits, if we are to see God moving mightily in our days, then we got to know God. Get to know Him as our Heavenly Father. How God's fatherhood is communicated. How God's fatherhood is exercised. Finally, I want you to see how God's fatherhood is edified. And we're nearly finished. John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. You know it so well. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. There is a name that is prophetically given to the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And it is the Everlasting Father. But also in the same context, He is ascribed as the Son given. And this speaks both of the equality of the Father and the Son and also of the two distinct personalities of God the Father and God the Son. And beloved, there is much that would thrill our hearts as we would look back through the Scriptures and see the parental care of the Father. But I want to tell you, beloved, equally, as we gaze into the future, as we see the events that are to come to pass when the Lord comes again for the redeemed, do you believe the Lord's coming? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you about the Father's business? Because the next great event in God's calendar is the rapture of the church. I believe it with all my heart and with all my soul. Usher in the tribulation period, then the second coming of Christ. Listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 24 says. Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. This is what thrills my soul. When I got to the end of this study, this is what blessed my soul. I think more than anything else I looked at about the fatherhood of God, this is what blessed me. And I hope it blesses you. I really, really do. When everything has been accomplished, when everything has been done, when everything is made new, when time shall be no more, and all of the redeemed, the bride of Christ, are at home in glory, perfected in the Lord Jesus Christ, presented faultless before the throne, here's the wonderful thing. God shall never lay aside the glory and the majesty and the love of His eternal fatherhood. Never. I think that's wonderful. That He will always be my Father. And I will always be able to go to Him throughout the countless stretches of eternity and say, My Father. And we can sing this evening, Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. Listen. Listen to it. What does it say? That's it. His child and forever I am. I lost my father way back in 2000. Died. Got up to go to work. He was 80. Worked every day. Got up to go to the butcher shop. Died in 15 minutes. Gone. I don't know where in eternity he is. I don't know. But he left me. Don't talk to him anymore. Don't hear his voice anymore. Can't give me any advice anymore. And that's sad sometimes. But listen. I have a heavenly Father who has promised I will never leave thee nor forsake me. I have a heavenly Father who says, Call upon me and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things that you knew not. I have a great heavenly Father who says, I am your refuge and your strength, the present help in time of trouble. I have one that I speak to every day and he speaks to me every single day. And I know where he is. And where he is, one day I'll be. And forever, I will be able to say, My Father. Wonderful. Isn't it great to be saved? Well, tell me this. Will you tell somebody about it this week? Just maybe one. Somebody that's unsaved, would you just tell them how wonderful it is to be saved? You don't need to preach at them. Just tell them how wonderful it is to be saved. And see what happens. Because you know, you see, when you're doing that, you're doing the Father's will. Amen. May God bless His word to our hearts and to our souls. Number 13 from Praise Him.